Welcome to Tarrant Hills Jr., Humblewood Edition. This is a Dungeons & Dragons 5e actual play podcast for kids and adults. In Tarrant Hills Jr., we will take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure, but this time, we're all burbs. This podcast is created by and for kids. So let's see what heights we can reach today, because we're burbs.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free. Through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light, I wonder if you'd wander with me. And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and the neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
The four of you, with April slowest to attend, walk up to the Birdfolk Council. It's all birdfolk all the time. The speaker says,
"You've been brought here under special appointment. Please speak your petition."
Can read to speak?
Yeah, you've spent the last 4 hours together, probably figuring out how you want to talk, what you need to say, and you've learned a great deal about petitioning and how it works. Not that any of you asked me if that would be something you could do. You literally told me, "I twiddle my thumbs, I steal from the people around me, I write a song, and I look at all the people." Well, I did give you an opportunity to learn how this all works. But you've kind of learned it by osmosis. Because, yes, you did write some songs, and you did twiddle your thumbs, and you did definitely try to steal that guy's money, and you did spend a lot of time looking around and being very inquisitive. So, you know how the petitioning works. It's very simple. You may make your opening case and state your petition. Then the members of the Birdfolk Council may ask you questions, and then they will make a ruling. You've worked out together, the four of you, what your petition is going to be.
Can we pause so we can figure it out? Can we take...
Well, let's just rewind back in time. And your four of you are sitting there talking to each other, and you're trying to say, what should we talk about when we're in front of the council? And let's just take whatever the good stuff is that you come up with now and how you want to say that as the good stuff for when you actually talk in front of the council. So let's have that conversation now while your characters are saying the beautiful things in front of the council.
You know what? Are you guys willing to talk about the uprising that we need to have?
We should definitely talk about the Humblewood.
It's important. The fires are important, but this might be more important.
No, we can talk about both.
We'll tie them in together, that's for sure, if we're going to.
And we also need to talk about, like, the letter that we were originally came here to give to said Birdfolk Council.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
We need to give them the letter and tell them about the fires and the uprising.
So, how are we gonna phrase this? We need an opening, the meat, and then the end.
So, I'd say the opening should be, we've come here to
talk about two things.
Talk about the fires in both the hearts of the humble folk and in
the literal fires.
And the literal fire. And in
literal fires.
Humblewood.
There are these fires that have been spreading around.
Although, guys, I have to say, after leaving my birdhouse is really good. I felt this chill inside me. See owls,
guys,
all through the market. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay. So, we have beginning. We have to discuss how are we going to structure our middle. Should we do humble folk or the fires?
I think we need to tie them together.
So, should we say, like, our first point is whatever, and then we continue on with that, and then our second point is...
Start off with the fires, since that's what we originally came here for.
The fires in Humblewood have, you know, caused devastation and many people have lost their homes.
Yeah, and when you talk about that part of it, the council on both sides, the left and the right, seem extremely sympathetic to the devastation of Ashbarrow, to the loss and the hardship that's befalling Meadowfen, where you're all from, for the most part. And they're very sympathetic to that.
These fires also have caused something different, and I think it's a needed thing. It's a needed change. We need a humble folk on the bird folk council.
Well, that is not well attended. There is a silence that leaps up like a wall in front of all of you as everyone everywhere goes quiet. A few moments pass of absolute shocked stillness, and then the whisperings start. First, the whispering is outside by those humble folk that are maybe too big to enter the doors, or maybe they just haven't had a chance to get in, or they were turned away because they're humble folk and they're whispering, and some sympathetic bird folk are whispering too outside. And then the whispering breaks into the birdfolk council itself. Most of the whispering is circling nearest and closest to where you were seated before, around Turkey Man. He is looking at you, April Reaper, with an expression that you don't quite get. You'd have to make an insight check. Just you, though. No one else is really too focused on
Turkey Man. His name is Turkey Man.
That's because no, he's a superhero.
You should make
Turkey Man.
Should make a song for Turkey Man.
Does whatever a turkey can.
Turkey Man.
Clucks and gobbles.
Grab his
21.
Cheek.
Wow. Okay. There's a newfound respect. He thought you were just some sort of petty, opportunistic thief. But the fact that you're all so eloquently speaking on the plight of the humble folk, on the follow-up to your request of aid and assistance for Ashbarrow and Meadowfen, that's huge. The whispering grows, and the speaker of the council bangs a gavel loudly on the table. Bang, bang, bang!
There will be silence. Silence, I say! While we debate.
The entire time that they like deliberate and stuff, Rita stands there like a wings at her side, and her hand, and even though she's kind of small, it looks like she's got confidence and looks like she's three times her size.
Wow. Why don't you make a persuasion check or just a straight up charisma check?
Okay, I'm gonna use this because I do not want to fail this.
Sure, you want to use a blue gem on it? I mean, absolutely, if you want to.
Do I use a white gem?
You could use a white gem, but then you'd need to change the story and add more to it. Would you rather not roll at all and use a white gem to take control for a moment?
Or use all of your white gems.
It seems like maybe what you want to do.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you use the white gem and you just take control of the story for the moment. Rita's standing there.
And Turkey Man is like, good job, from the side stands, and Rita hears him, doesn't really notice, as she just stares at the gavel, looking really tall and confident and proud.
Yeah.
And Turkey
Would you like some help with that?
Turkey Man just starts singing his theme song.
Does anybody else have any help that they could offer Robin, who wants to make her character a little more prominent in this moment? Anybody got any ideas?
Everyone looking up to her, a bright light shining onto her.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking that too. There's a little break in the cloud cover, and the light, a brilliant, shining shaft of light, shines down through the dome upon Rita Harper, bathing her in radiant light. Rita's got this beautiful moment, and then the first question is asked by someone on the right, and they say, we could take in refugees, but if we start with one or two, what's to stop the horde from descending upon the entire city? And it becomes a big debate. Tim, who has noticed the way that this all works and the processes and everything and how it's been going on, what does Tim say to stop this?
Well, the humble folk need some sympathy. They feel left out and disrighted. All the bird folk get high places to live, and they have to live on the ground, and most of them are poor, helpless.
And what's to say that of the refugees that make their way into the city, some aren't those depraved bandits lurking amongst their midst, to bring harm and danger to our fair city and its properties.
You're stereotyping,
says another person on the right. They're actually talking amongst themselves as they deliberate, and you definitely can interject. So if that's what you'd like to say, what would you like to say?
You're stereotyping humble folk as the only ones who are bandits. There are bird folk bandits, and people really only become bandits because they are desperate, and because you and everyone who is selfish and does not consider anyone else is making them so desperate and making them have hard lives.
Bobby, you catch Rita up. You put an arm on her to stop her before she says something that would get you all in trouble. Because she said something in that little speech that would have gotten you all in trouble. What was the comment that she made?
Not all bandits are humble folk.
Yeah, that's pretty, that's a genuine true observation. But there was something else that Rita said that would have gotten you all in trouble. Anybody know what that was? Were you listening to Robin really carefully to know what it was?
I was, but like my mind just blanked out.
I'm sorry.
My mind just like blanked out.
That totally happened. No?
Is it like about why they're on hard times?
Cause no. She said, you are selfish.
Oh, they are though.
Right, but you have to address them with the dignity and respect that's due their position. And there has been no evidence of selfishness that's been made visible or plain, right? And it's not connected to your petition at all. So she's just about to tell them that they're being selfish. And Bobby puts a hand on the shoulder of Rita and cuts her off quickly. You even realize, whoa, I was about to say something really wrong there. And Bobby says instead,
we should give humble folk a chance.
I also want to point out, yes, the humble folk have it bad, that they have troubles and there's problems there, especially with regards to racism in amongst the bird folk and how they're lording over rights and privileges above and beyond the humble folk. But there are literally people who have no home anymore, and they are making their way here to Alderheart because there is no hope. Their homes are gone, their village and town destroyed by the fire. And your petition was, Alderheart, you need to do something about it. Alderheart, help these people.
I think we want to distress. It's about everyone.
How would you take that away from stop being selfish, which is what Rita was about to say, and change that? What would you say instead, Gary? What would Bobby do?
Changing the word selfish.
Well, what's the opposite of selfish?
Selfless.
Yeah, selfless.
Start being more selfless, I guess.
So that's a possibility. You could flip it to the opposite of that, or you could make it not about them specifically and make it about everyone. Because at the end of the day, what do we want the council to do? We want the council to have humble folk people be represented on it. We want the council to help Ashbarrow and Meadowfen. How so? How are we going to help them? With money? We can help them with sending people out to stop the fires, to investigate the fires? Are we going to accept the refugees? What are you going to do about things? That was what the petition was. The petition was, go and get us help.
Give the people that don't have homes from Ashbro a home here so they can actually have a sustainable life here.
Okay. Yeah. Puts his hand out just as Rita's about to say, you're being selfish. And he talks about homes and how important it is that everyone gets to have a home and what it feels like to have lost your home. April then says, because you've discussed it at length, what is something else that you bring up?
Please be selfless and help the people who are in need to better all of our community.
A bird folk on the right, another elderly council person, says, that's fine as it is, but the fires keep spreading. And if they keep spreading, there'll be more refugees, and already our resources are wearing thin.
So bring a people.
How long will it be until the city runs out of food and other essential resources?
If you allow people to go out and stop the fires, you won't have that problem. Instead of just having everyone stay here and just help the refugees that come, more refugees will come and the fires may end up spreading here.
That's a good point. And what does Tim say?
You need to send people in to investigate the fires, or at least look at them to see how bad they are.
A person on the right says, "Fires are all well and good, but they're probably being started by those damned bandits. That's what our true concern should be, is the banditry that runs amok in the forest."
"No, they're being started by monsters.
Look, like, the bandit ranks have swelled to great levels recently, and even the perch guard has spread thin. It only can do so much."
"That's because they're resorting to banditry because they don't have any other option, because their homes have been burnt to a crisp and they're only trying to survive. If we stop the fires and help regrow those communities, the bandit levels will go down again."
"And how do we know that it's not that ruthless bandit leader, Benna Saradin, the servant female who is responsible for all of this and has swelled their ranks with her charisma and her words?"
"If the bandits did do this, then they wouldn't have nearly as much to steal from, which means that they'd be worse off than they already are. It would not work in their favor."
"How do we know that Benna's not just driving all the refugees here to insert her people in amongst them? Because we all know, everyone here knows of Benna's terrible hatred of Alderheart."
"Once again, if they continue to force in more refugees, supplies will drop, which means there will be less for them to steal, which would not favor them in any way."
All right, you got anything else to add, Rita?
I think we've made a pretty good case so far, although I think it's important to bring it to, like, everyone deserves a fair chance.
Okay, you say that, and then things start to get riotous in the place. People are cheering and shouting and crying out. Your call for aid, finally, after all of the bedlam, the speaker starts banging their gavel repeatedly on the podium, calling out for silence, or they'll clear the entire council and end it for the day. The guards come in, that foursome looking big and imposing and beefy, stand there, and silence spreads out around them like wildfire, and immediately a hush falls over everyone there. The beam of light shining upon Rita Harper passes as the cloud cover returns, and the speaker says,
"Oh, this requires a great deal of more discussion, which we will have to do behind closed doors. I invite these intrepid foursome, though, who have managed so easily to gain access to this chamber with their petition for Meadowfen, for Ashbarrow, and the humble folk of Alderheart. We will deliberate at length and meet with you again on the morrow to discuss. Your words have been very powerful. I don't doubt they will go on and be spoken of elsewhere here. Let the record stand that these four will meet with us tomorrow, where true change and action will be undertaken."
"What about, like, the letter that we were supposed to deliver a letter as well?"
"Oh, that was part of the whole thing." "Okay. You delivered your letter by word and deed. You spoke to the needs of Meadowfen and Ashborough. And that's what you really had to do all along, right? So the letter from the grandfather back in the very, very beginning, is that what you're referring to in Meadowfen?
Grandmother.
Grandmother? Yeah, you spoke to that at length. It's fine. Well, petitions go back to normalcy after that. Do you leave right away, or do you stay and listen to the next couple of petitions?
I mean, we've done
It's been 5-6 hours.
I want to listen to the Turkey Man's one. I do kind of want to.
Yeah, we'll stay for the Turkey Man.
Okay. They call the number. Turkey Man marches up. Now we have to give him a name. So we'll give him the name of Arthur Bugles. Arthur Bugles comes up. He's a portly fellow. The Gerbean and the Sable Luma are with him. He says,
"Honored council, I am here to petition once again, as I do every other year, for the addition of a third set of seats on the council for those of us who may be humble folk, but do not bird folk, I mean, but who do not fly when and therefore don't live up here in the branches above, and for the humble folk who reside on the floor.
Rita, like, kind of tries to, like, subtly ask if he wants help with his case.
He doesn't really pay close attention to you. I have my petition signed by 200, as always asked. And
he starts to stutter and stumble, and the speaker points to the peahen, nods to her. She goes over and she takes the petition from him. She comes back and she puts it in front of the council, and the council says,
we will hold a vote on the matter. We will hold a vote on the matter of admitting an additional 6 seats upon the bird council.
I would have just changed to not call it a Birdfolk Council anymore, and to also move it to lower levels. We collected funds to begin the building and have the permits.
He gets quieter and he gets more nervous the more he talks.
Rita cheers him on. Go, you got this.
You want to give him bardic inspiration is what you want to do? Oh, Robin, that's adorable.
I'm good with people.
All right.
How many white gems do you have?
3.
I will give you a 4th white gem. I feel like there needs to be a limit at some point as to how many white gems you all can have. I have 1 white gem left in my entire bucket of white gems.
I only have 2.
Well, you still have 2. Okay. You give him bardic inspiration. It seems to bolster him a little bit as you cheer with a strum of your lute and you say,
come on, you have this. You're awesome. This is an important matter.
Yes. In theatric and bardic fashion, you inspire him. He gets to roll with a d8. See how his persuasion check's going to go as he tries to get better. You've added 5 to his check, and he's bolstered by your attempt and efforts. He finishes up. Then the council deliberates, and they vote him down very quickly. And it seems to let the air out of the room, and a lot of people leave. It looked like things were going to go his way for a little while, but in the end, 10 of the 12 voting members vote against the addition of 6 more seats for those bird folk that do not fly and the humble folk. The deliberation as to moving the council chambers and building a new one closer to the ground is voted against 12-0.
Bro.
And it definitely feels like change isn't possible as you walk away. You start to wonder if what you're doing, as you walk away, you're all left with that deflated feeling. Like, his petition was well done. There was tons of people who had signed it. He'd asked for exactly the same sorts of things you were asking in a very well codified, very well put together way, and he lost. People are leaving, even though there are further petitions, further things to be brought before the council, new zoning permits and things, boring stuff.
I think Rachel was like, hey guys, we should go.
You head out. You walk back to Tim's stepdad's house. Lights are on. They're eager to have you there. Your stepdad asks you all how it went. He seems hopeful, but none of you seem very hopeful. So you put your tent together and head to bed. It's been a couple of hours of soundly being asleep. 2 o'clock in the morning or so. No moon because of the overcast sky tonight. You're in the bough of the tree. You're on one of the nice bigger branches where Tim's stepdad lives. And you're all awakened. Is that a scream? Was that a crash? Was that the sound of breaking glass? What was that?
Rita's a late sleeper.
And then a jarring klaxon sounds, rousing everyone. There's a huge commotion on the streets. You can see people rushing and moving.
Yeah, let's go.
Through the windows.
Okay, we need to go see what's happening.
No, and you hear people crying out, bandits! Bandits!
Insert guitar swing over the head, bang.
And it's down below. You can see from the bow down to the lower level of the city. There's some sort of large group of wagons. They're up against the city gates. There's fire. There seems to be a large swath of individuals coming towards the gates. There's fire going on, and it seems as though the whole city has awakened in the middle of the night.
Oh,
this has to be a dream. This has to be a dream.
April.
Tim's dad, he is awakened. He's wearing like a sleeping cap. He's got his robe on. He knows you're adventurers. He sees the four of you getting ready to go, rush into stopping this or doing something. I don't know what your plans are. And what does he say?
What's all that commotion?
Hey, it's just bandits and fires.
You should deal with them.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, then. We've got Tim's dad's permission, apparently. Now, let's go.
Help us. Okay, let's go.
Okay. You leap off the branch, gliding down towards the ground. Individually, en masse, except as she leaps, Rita's claws dig into the branch. And what? And then you let go?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And then she vomits.
There's like a splash of vomit that ends up like falling on one of the caravans. And it falls onto like one of the caravan's roofs. And as Rita like flaps her wings frantically, because Rita's never been very good at flying. She doesn't like flying. And it makes her very nauseous. So Rita's literally like free falling.
Can it also land on one of the bandits?
Ugh. Okay, well, we won't know anything about what's going on with that because that's disgusting. But I love it. It was a great ad. Four of you glide down towards the bandits. You land on a platform in front of the northernmost city gate. Several wagons are being besieged by a massive bandit force. You're all in your armor. You're all wearing and carrying your weapons. Rita manages to make that athletics check to catch herself, or acrobatics check, if you could, make that roll. Very poorly. She smashes into a branch, crashes through some leaves, winds up very, very battered, splatting onto the ground. I mean, but you're birds. You all can fly. You're just not very good at it. It doesn't look very good.
I hit a side branch.
Yes.
This is how it starts.
There's a captain there. It's none other than the eagle, the bald eagle you saw earlier at the city council. He is leading a group of the city guard, the perch guard, as they're called. And he says, "You there, armored foursome. We need your help."
"We'll help." Shakes off.
Little cherry on top.
"It's not a rumor that you all are here. Bandits are attacking. We need to stop them."
"Let's go."
"Yes, Klame."
"Repel the bandits."
"Well, let's get going then."
"Get into the chopper."
"Come on, April."
Some Vulpin captains and Mapache bandits below barking orders at dozens of bandits that are attacking this merchant caravan that was trying to enter. The doors have been closed, but they're not quite locked up yet. And some of the bandits are pushing against those big city gate doors, as well as merchants trying to get in. You could leap down and attack, but there are dozens of bandits and ones in the shadows with bows and crossbows as well. And it could be very dangerous to leap outside the city gates and lay waste to the bandits.
"Okay, we're not jumping down. It's way too risky."
Yeah.
"Caca!"
"I kind of fell."
"Yeah. I saw you splat on the ground."
"Yeah.
I may or may not have vomited."
"Okay, geez. Okay, anyways. What are we going to do? There's obviously bandits hiding in the shadows. We could get shot at and just look at them all down there."
"We need to figure out action. I think, honestly, we're best at close combat."
"You're more than welcome to leap down into the fray. That's very dangerous, though. So what are some things you think you could do? And if you would like advice, the book offers advice
as
well." "Yes,
please. Advice."
"So yeah, let's come up with some ideas on our own, and then I'll offer some book suggestions, too."
"Well, this may or may not work, but still a suggestion. Probably won't work, but we could try to reason with them.
You definitely throw that one out there."
"Yeah.
Reasoning with the bandits.
We're kind of pacifists."
"I'm going to just tell you that while you're thinking. Because you don't get to see the picture of all of this. You don't. It has to be in your imagination. And all you're picturing are people picturing fire." "Yeah?
There's fire?"
torches and the light of fire in the distance and
so
things like that.
So what I'm picturing is that we're like kind of looking down from a ledge.
Sure.
Yeah. And then there's like a lower area with, so there's like the carriages and stuff. And the bandits and everyone are fighting.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's what's happening. There's the gates, the caravan, right? But it's hard to picture all of that. There's a lot going on all at once, correct?
So we're on a ledge.
Well, a platform.
Yeah, a platform above.
Yeah. Got any ideas there, Tim?
I do. We could try to politely ask them.
Well, that's what Sav offered.
Since me and Sav have ranged weapons, me and Sav could try and shoot a couple while Tim and Rita try and sneak around them or something like that.
She's the best.
Neither of them are very good at sneaking. So yes.
Oh, yeah.
That is a great idea. That you could all do some ranged attacks against the bandits down below. Definitely a good idea.
We could try to go for the captains, because without any leader, they don't have anyone to tell them to do all this.
You want to go engage the captain with hand-to-hand combat, or are you just going to shoot at the captains?
I think my...
What were you thinking when they were picturing that in your head? Were you shooting them, or were you fighting them hand-to-hand?
Shooting them.
Okay. So just adding more to what Gary had already said, was not just shooting bandits, but shooting captains.
Mm-hmm, because without the captains...
Right.
Then...
So I'll add to that. It looks as though the townfolk and the perch guard are very disorganized. They're not in control of the situation. Someone needs to take control. So the book suggests you could take control of the situation and direct the perch guard and the villagers in specific actions.
You could
rally the perch guard and give them moral support and tell them, we've got this, we'll save the day, and get the perch guard to work more happily, more with more bravado. Mm-hmm. You could rush down and keep those gate doors closed, or rush down to open them to help the caravan in. So there's the option of helping that merchant caravan get into the city, blocking the merchant caravan from getting into the city, helping the people around you. And then don't forget, there's all those intricate walkways and pulley system pathways and whatnot. And you could cut those and knock them down. And that would give the perch guard and the villagers things to hide behind to not get shot and attacked by the bandits and help that way. So these are the suggestions that the book has, but I like your suggestions as well of taking aim at some of the captains.
I like the police one where
A couple of them.
Okay. We could use our ranged weapons as a distraction while the perch guard sneaks around and tries to attack them.
I know you're trying to be inclusive in this, but you just have to describe what you're up to.
Bobby's getting his longbow ready.
Okay, I love it.
I like the idea of taking charge to try and since you said they seem really disorganized. And
is that something your character is good at doing?
Probably not.
Yeah.
It's more a Rita thing.
Either a Rita or...
What's Rita want to do?
I don't really have ideas.
Well, I gave you a bunch of suggestions. What are your thoughts? What does Tim want to do?
I want to break free.
Yeah, okay. I understand. But what is Tim going to do?
Tim is going to knock down one of the police things.
Oh, the pulley things? Make some help? Yeah, I love it. That's great. That's a strong thing to do. And what's Rita going to do?
I think Rita's going to go open the doors.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Sure. Well, let's describe these actions. Mm-hmm. We don't need to go into initiative because that's a lot of things happening all at once. You describe for me something that your character is doing. And then I'll describe something that's happening in the scene, and then somebody else will describe their action. So you have to decide as a foursome what's happening first.
I'll knock down one of the pulley things.
That sounds like a good idea. Knocking the pulley systems down first and saving some villagers. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody? Okay. So I need you to make a strength athletics check if that's what you're doing, or you can make an intelligence check if you're going to do it smartly. Are you going to just do it strong and bash things, or are you going to do it smartly? And intelligence investigation, if you've got it, probably would be a good way to go. So you're going to roll your d20, describe your action, and we'll tell you if you're successful or not. Okay, you have a 15 on the die. What's your intelligence modifier?
Plus one.
All right, so do you have investigation?
No.
All right, so it's just a 16 total, but guess what? That's more than enough to use your smarts, because that's what you were going to do, not your strength?
Yeah.
Okay, you're using your smarts to make sure you knock down the right pulleys, and you do so, and it's great. The response to that is a bunch of villagers suddenly find themselves saved because the bandits were charging them, and suddenly an entire walkway crashes down in between them. It doesn't catch any bandits. Everyone is fine, but it stops the bandits in their tracks. And they all look up, and they see none other than Tim Portence in his armor, shining in the torchlight, this brilliant-looking Canadian goose squawks out and saves a bunch of villagers.
And it also has my wind touch.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. The wind swirls around him with an eddy as you glide to another set of walkways to knock it to the ground. The response, though, is that back wagon of the caravan is knocked over, or one of the two of the wheels are destroyed, and it cannot move anymore as the bandits topple it and use it as a rallying point for themselves. Who's next?
I shoot one of the bandit captains.
Sure. You want to shoot a bandit captain?
Yes.
All right. You hide and sneak, scuttle away to get advantage on this strike to shoot from a hidden perspective, correct? Because that's what you get to do if you're attacking from hide.
Okay, preferably so hit one of the advantage. The ones we knew.
I'm glad I did.
Okay, how'd you do?
I got a 21 again.
You have hit. You strike. What humble folk is this captain?
He is a mouse.
Oh, okay, he's a gerbean. I love it.
Okay, so roll damage.
You don't really have to roll damage. You can describe for me what happens to this individual you shoot.
So April quickly goes behind something to stay hidden and takes out her short bow, aims it right at its head.
Oh my.
And fires through the crowd.
Yeah. Does this kill this person, or does it make them leave the story entirely? Do they leave the story and they are alive? Or are they leaving the story because they're dead?
Leave the story entirely but they're alive. Her aim was slightly off, so it hits right in their chest, and they stumble back and dizzily start running while trying to let the littlest amount of blood out as well.
I love it. That's great. Yeah.
Can Bobby shoot one on the carriage?
Oh, you were also going to shoot?
Yeah.
Was it shooting that you were going to do? I thought you were doing something other than shooting them.
You want to rally the
guards? I want to, but I wanted to change my mind.
That's fine. You're more than welcome to change your mind. Okay. Next that happens, spears, arrows, and even rocks thrown from slings rain down upon the bandit horde, laden with spoils of their raid as they collect things from that merchant caravan. The bandits struggle to fight. They're actually starting to retreat, though, as Bobby takes his turn.
Bobby pulls an arrow out of his quiver, loads it into his bow, pulls back, aims right at the chest, and fires.
Sounds great.
18.
That is enough to hit. What happens?
The arrow whistles through the air.
Where does it go?
It's just like a straight whistle.
No?
What's that tune from?
Don't worry, be happy.
Oh, yeah.
Do, do, do. This is turning into a whistling thing.
And strikes Drabine in the chest, and the Drabine is swiftly pulled away by its fellow friends.
Absolutely, yes. You rain arrows down upon them, and they start to stagger back. A victorious cry goes up along the wall. That captain of the perch guard gazes down at the raised caravan, and he says,
"We've wounded down there. Send for healers."
And what are you going to do?
She's currently running down the stairs.
Uh-huh.
To open the doors, as you do.
You've done so. You've gotten to the doors. It's a mass bit of confusion. On this side, they're trying to close the doors. On the other side, they're trying to open them.
Well, I'm going to open
Somebody
the doors.
Somebody is crying out, "No, don't! The bandits will get in!"
The bandits are already in. And she opens the doors.
Well, they're huge. You have to rally people together to open the doors. You can't just do it yourself.
There's a box that's fallen. It's kind of crumpled. She stands on top of the box.
Yeah.
Her soapbox. And she does like a tiny speech of, we have to let these people in. They need a safe place.
And you direct them all to?
Open the door.
So you say?
Open the doors!
Make a persuasion
check. Get in the chopper.
You can't stop me.
All right, you're spending another blue gem.
20.
Yes. Everyone on the left-hand side begins to stop closing the door and begins to open the door. The right-hand side, though, initially stops because that guy's like, no, the bandits are bad. We need to not let them in. They'll kill us. But he is overcome by a pair of Jerpine brothers who see you and they say, you got it. And they shove him out of the way and open the doors. You don't know where the other two brothers are. The younger ones. They're probably still back in bed. But those other two.
There's only three. Four.
There's four.
There's four.
The other two are there. The older two. Pulling the doors open. Merchants, non-bandits, begin running into the confines of the city itself. The captain looks at you, the bald eagle, and he says, those... I gave the order to close the doors, not to have them opened.
You know what?
I'm not in good humor.
No one is, and these people might die if we don't do anything. So just man up and help.
But that's when healers, people dressed in the white robes of... Who is the healing one? The Sable Luma, the Amaranthine, rush out to begin to give aid and comfort to those injured bandits and merchants alike.
They're helping the bandits.
The guard captain starts going around to other perch guard, saying, you must come with me. Now that we have routed the bandits, we cannot allow them to continue in the way they are going. We must charge them down.
This
cannot be allowed to continue.
The captain shouts,
are they gonna...
swinging up to a nearby branch and makes himself visible to the crowd.
The bandits strike at our home, at our livelihood, and at our dignity as citizens of the wood. Well, I say no more. The time has come for us to stop the menace once and for all.
I also say, don't kill the ones who helped open the door. They're nice.
Who is with me?
Yeah!
A growing surge of perch guard gather together, ready to go out and chase down the bandits who are leaving laden with all of the merchant wagon's goods, gold, silver, valuable steel ingots, and other fabrics and dyes that would have been brought in and brought wealth and prosperity to Alderheart. They're fleeing into the night. You can see their torches leaving. One of the wagons makes its way into the city. Rita joins the captain. Tim, after having knocked down a second pathway, what does he do? Are you going to join rousting the bandits, or are you going to stay and tend to the wounded?
I'm going to roust the bandits, but I'm also going to say, don't make the ones that helped open the gates run away.
Why don't you make an acrobatics check with your glide to fly over and land next to the captain? All right, doesn't look so good. Not so spectacular. You land and you yell out. What do you say?
Don't damage the ones that helped open the gates. They're friendly.
And Bobby and April, with their bows out, nowhere near each other, because it moved off to either sides of the perch, finally lower their weapons, look around and catch each other's eyes. And you say, Bobby?
Don't attack. They're retreating.
Okay, now, want to go chase some bandits?
Sure.
You join the captain. The four of you have gathered up. There's like a whole bunch more as well. And the captain says,
let us go and bring the fight to them.
And Rita says,
let your gods light your way. We are Alderheart.
And that's where we'll end the session today.
Sick.
Oh.
You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into. Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more of the adventure. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. Find their music on iTunes or check them out at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes or check us out on Twitter at tavern_tales. See you all later!
I'm wondering if you'd come wandering my way. If you ever get lost or if the trail leads you astray. The music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away and I'll spread the word.